Well, it was one of the most gripping showdowns of Saturday night's election. The Māori Party's Rawiri Waititi and Labour's Tamati Coffey were neck and neck until the end, writes Lee Marama McLaughlin in The Guardian. 500,000 special votes are yet to be counted. The Māori Party is nonetheless excited, returning the important Māori seat of Wairiki back to the Māori Party, and so back to Parliament would be a huge win. And Labour returns with its largest Māori caucus, 15 MPs, but it's shown that it cannot be complacent. With us is Dr. Lara Greaves, who lectures in New Zealand politics and public policy with interests around Mana Māori Motuhake at the University of Auckland. Dr. Greaves, kia ora, welcome.
Kia ora.
How did you read the results on this? I mean, are we seeing, if people have talked about, some sort of re-energising in Māori politics?
Well, it was quite exciting, really, at the time. I was kind of thinking that it would be pretty close. There were sort of three electorates that the Māori TV polls showed that could be close. Tāmaki Makaurau having, I think, about like 6 points or so in the polls on it. And those are the ones we were kind of watching on the night. Generally, though, I think the Māori Party did quite well across all of the electorates, including ones that has sort of quite popular Labour incumbent MPs or where Labour's generally done well in the past, considering just our general view of the election as being that it was a red wash and everyone kind of swung towards Labour. I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how Rawiri goes in Parliament as an MP and being sort of a one-man band of sorts.
Yeah.
And so it'll be, I mean, great for the Māori Party to have that, just have that office there, have that seat there and have that sort of established position from which to sort of kind of maybe have the chance of sort of shaping the media agenda or having that sort of independent voice there.
Right, yes, and I saw a picture of Rawiri outside Parliament in the first day in Wellington today. And Waititi's win so far, will that translate into further momentum perhaps and act as a critical counterpoint in Parliament against Labour?
Potentially. That's where I'm going to be watching Labour, I think, for this next term to see what they do. I mean, they have been talking about how they have, you know, like a large number of Māori MPs in their Māori caucus, a lot of Māori in the general seats as well. And so now it really looks, and I think people just generally on the left are looking at this as well. It's like, okay, so what is Labour going to do now? And for Māori, it's like, what is Labour going to do now for Māori, now that there's not that sort of handbrake of New Zealand First there?
Right, yeah. And we were talking about this, weren't we, Ella, in terms of Rawiri Waititi and the whānau there. And, of course, he was very instrumental in one of the people setting up those roadblocks as well, you know, making sure people there felt protected.
Well, Rawiri is a direct descendant of Hawaini Waititi, which many people in Auckland will know is the marae out in West Auckland. So he comes from a long line of great whānau Apanui leaders, and I think he's shown in the last few months, you know, the kinds of leadership qualities that Māori admire and respect. And so I'd like to think that the Labour Party will find some way of having an accord, not just with Rawiri, but those Māori who voted strategically, because the Māori Party, you know, it campaigned for the electorate vote, and you could see in each of those electorates that Māori were giving in large numbers their electorate vote to the Māori Party candidate, but they were still giving their party vote to predominantly Labour. So you know, those people have voted strategically and could equally vote strategically and differently at the next election. So I do think it is worth the while of the Labour Party to think about how to maintain a relationship. It does not certainly mean, you know, in cabinet, but I do think that Rawiri will bring a different perspective to the Māori caucus. And I'm kind of excited because it's probably the first time since the 1880s, maybe, that there's been a politician in our New Zealand Parliament with a full tāmoko.
Is that right, Lara? I think it is, isn't it?
Yep, I've definitely heard that, yep.
Yeah. There are issues that many feel have been left unaddressed, issues like housing, but also issues like Ihu Mātou. And will the Māori Party, considering how they were formed on the back of the foreshore and the seabed, will they be able to occupy that space of issues and push it along a bit and maybe even push the Prime Minister on those sorts of issues?
I think potentially, I think there's real power in having even that one seat there because, I mean, now the Māori Party will be a little bit more in the scope of sort of the media's agenda and it'll be like, okay, what does the Māori Party think about this? What does Waititi think about this? So that will give potential base for a little bit more attention to those issues. And I think just, again, we've kind of seen it over the decades of, like, in the Māori seat, it's great to have someone to hold Labour to account and to be able to create that competition. And, like, the whole point of democracy is, like, a contest of ideas and being able to sort of hold people to account. So I think that's a really important thing and a really great thing for Māori politics going forward.
Just finally, before you go, we were talking before the headlines with Professor Richard Shaw. Chester Burrows here as well from National, just saying, look, in terms of how National needs to change, that diversity will really be something that they'll need to focus on as part of their maybe refresh. Is that something that will need to be important for them?
Yeah, because basically, like, I mean, I just as people that follow politics, we do get wrapped up in the latest election. But, like, what we're looking at right now is, okay, so say Labour gets another term or two. At some point, there's going to be a national government, shock horror, but, like, in the next couple of terms, there will be a national government. And then that cabinet, whoever's going to, we will be a decision-making table, and they will make decisions on behalf of all New Zealanders. And I think generally, all of the research shows that you want that to be some kind of demographic reflection of New Zealanders because people can bring their lived experience to the table and that they can kind of speak for different communities. And what is looking like is further down the track when we do get a national government, that they will be perhaps far less diverse than what the current or what the government's about to be. And that will potentially lead to issues, say 2026 or something along those lines. So that's really what I'm kind of looking, just looking at their list now and who's gotten in their seats. That's really the kind of lens that I'm putting on it, eh? That future-facing lens.
Dr. Laura Greaves, thank you again for your time on the panel.
I was just interested, it's important to remember that Māori is a broad-based party, so it's a big party and it needs to attract voters from right across the political spectrum. The Labour Party. The Māori Party then has got is campaigning for a Māori vote. It can say all sorts of things that Labour can't say, and that's that doesn't have to mitigate what it's saying or anything else. Debbie Packer is a neighbour of mine. She's a couple hundred metres up the road. We talk pretty often, and she came out and said things that a lot of Pākehā wouldn't have liked, but they were real issues for Māori. And she could say them really forcefully, and good on her, and I think that lifted. I had predicted that it was going to be a real good go between her and Adrian Rudrafi, but then, of course, the red tide changed, really. If there hadn't been a COVID, it would have been really interesting contest, particularly in that seat, because of Debbie and what she was prepared to say. But that's the stark difference between Māori and Labour and Māori and the Māori Party. Māori and Labour are having to mitigate everything in case they scare those horses too much and they lose some of that, the Pākehā vote that they need. And the Māori Party can say what they like because they're smaller and they're niche and all power to them. As between the comment that was made in relation to a future national government, remember, John Key brought the Māori Party in when he didn't need the vote. And I think
that's a fair point.
It was a clever strategy. Unfortunately, a whole lot of Māori Party voters didn't like the fact that they went with the National Party in spite of, you know, whānau ora and everything that they were able to achieve. But it is, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting one to watch, and
that's
I'm really pleased
point,
to
Ella.
See them back.
I could not agree more, and I do think that what John Key showed was a sensitivity to what you spoke about, Chester, you know, that reaching out into the Māori community. The difficulty, though, was for after three wins, Māori at the flax roots could see little had changed for far too many of them, and so they put that down to the national government and by association the close relationship that they had with the Māori Party. So this government is on notice. You know, it has talked a lot about addressing issues that are really important to Māori: housing, child poverty, crime, and so we the Māori world are going to be looking very closely at how they perform.
Mm.